You're with SBS Radio.
With me today is Nick Dargan. He's the Headspace Senior Clinical Advisor, and we are going to talk about Headspace, particularly among the youth. Good day, Nick.
Hi there. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for your time.
Pleasure.
Studies show that psychological distress among the youth has tripled over the last 10 years.
Yeah, and it's unfortunately for us here at Headspace, we have 100 centres across Australia. We have online support called eHeadspace. We are quite acutely aware of the challenges that young people face and the rates of distress that are happening. But this research is the first time in about a decade that there has been a large-scale population-based survey of young people that are a kind of representative sample of young Australians to ask them about their rates of distress. As you mentioned in your introduction, it's significantly higher. So in 2007, that rate was 9% of young Australians experiencing high to very high levels of psychological distress. And our recent research has identified that that's up to 32%, so a significant shift.
And it's 38% among women compared to 26% among young men.
Yes, and so that's in every state and actually in every age group. So Headspace works with 12 to 25-year-olds, but across the life course, women experience a higher rate of distress or higher likelihood of experiencing mental health conditions than men. And there are many reasons why that is. And some of them among young people include the fact that there are different relationship challenges that young women go through. Also that young women are far more likely to be the victims of family and intimate partner violence. Also the rise of social media means that there's a lot more pressure placed on young women to present this idealised body image and version of themselves online, and there's a quite unattainable social construct about what it is to look like a young woman that clearly is impacting on rates of distress as well.
So based on what you said, it's particularly from women, it's usually how you look and how you sell yourself.
So that's a contributing factor. I think it's we can't really say that the difference in the rates between young men and young women are down to one thing only, but it's clear that that body image concerns are a much higher concern for young women than young men, and it's increasing their rates of distress.
Well, you did mention women as victims of intimate partner violence. So
yes.
Is that one of the big numbers among women, younger women?
So again, it's really difficult to tease out. When we look at all of these contributing factors, we look at associations. And so it's really difficult to pull apart each one of these contributing factors and come down to a specific number about how much unique distress is that one factor contributing to the overall rates. But what is clear is that young women experience greater levels of intimate partner and family abuse, and that it is it's clear that that is causing an increase in distress.
Recalling my days when I was younger, I recall that my trouble or my challenges would be asking my parents if I could go out with my friends, if I could go out and play. So the world is much more complicated now for younger people.
It is significantly more complicated than it was 20, 30, 40 years ago, and even 10 years ago, which our last research is comparing against. The world is nearly unrecognisable for young people. The quality and the duration of sleep has gone down, the quality of our food intake has gone down, the amount of physical exercise has gone down, the time spent online or on screens has significantly increased, the need to present an image of self or a sense of self in your face-to-face life as well as in an online environment, to do that across a number of platforms, increased cost of living, increased pressures around academic performance and entry into university or further study, challenges around getting into the employment market, And then even if you're in getting the amount of hours that young people are after, these challenges are huge and they're really varied and they have all increased over the past decade.
How can younger people adapt to the changes in their lives and to the challenges? How can they cope with the stress?
Yeah, it's a good question and it's a huge challenge, and that's what we are committed to here at Headspace. And so what we know from many other health conditions, and so I'll use maybe alcohol use as an example. Alcohol use 10 years ago among young people was, it does remain a huge concern, but there has been a cross-sector investment in health promotion, in giving young people quality information. And so now we're seeing in recent years replicated results year on year of young people trending down in their alcohol use. So a part of that is about giving them really good quality information, and it's also about not selling them the boom and gloom zero tolerance message, but arming them with really good quality information that empowers them to make the right choices. And young people can make the right choices when they're given support and when the all of the health and education and employment sectors work together. Then they can feel supported to participate in their community. So specifically for Headspace, what we're about is working with those other sectors, but also making sure young people really clearly know what are the 7 tips for a healthy headspace. How can they have simple, practical, actionable tips that they can take control of that can help to reduce their likelihood of experiencing distress and increase their likelihood of creating a mentally healthy and thriving life?
I like that you said choices. It's good to know that you always have a choice, isn't it?
Absolutely. And here at Headspace, we absolutely respect and acknowledge the huge contribution that young people make to Australia. And everything that we do here at Headspace is in co-design with young people. So, for example, these 7 tips for a healthy headspace, we've landed on these from international literature review, but also in working with young people around what works for you. And so on our website at headspace.org.au/tips, We go into much more detail about each one of these tips, and also with each one of them, we incorporate a young person's voice. So one of our National Youth Reference Group members talks about some of the struggles they have had and how they have used these tips in times of difficulty and how that tip has helped them to recover or to promote their well-being.
Can you give us the top 3?
They're not in any order because each one of them are closely connected. And each one of them will be more or less important for a different person. But I could clump maybe a few of them. So there are some ones that are typically understood as physical health. They're getting enough sleep, staying active and eating well. But our research is highlighting the really close relationship between those and mental health. And then of the other 4, there's close and connected relationships, doing stuff that's really important to you to develop a sense of meaning and purpose, learning new ways to handle tough times. And so we all need to build our coping strategies, and there's a huge number of resources on our website about how young people can do that, and limiting alcohol and other drug use. So like I mentioned before, good quality information about how we can empower them to make the choices that are right for them.
And most importantly, I guess it's important to always remember that there's someone that you can talk to and someone that can listen and help.
Yes. So it's crucial that young people don't try to carry these difficulties on their own. Find somebody in your life that you trust, whether that be a friend or a parent or a family member or a cousin or an auntie or an uncle or whoever it might be. Maybe it's a sports coach, maybe it's a teacher. Maybe if you don't have anyone that you feel you trust, get on the phone to eHeadspace or Lifeline. But you must not carry these things by yourself because it can become overwhelming, and early intervention is absolutely the best approach to handling these difficulties.
And you are never alone.
Never alone.
There's always someone at the end of the line to listen.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you very much, Nick Dugan from Headspace.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us what you think. Rate this podcast on iTunes. It helps other people to find us.